I want to call the joint committee meeting, Health, Education, Welfare, Land, Natural Resources, and Cultural meeting to order. That I would like to ask Representative Randolph if he would give the invocation, please.
Lord, we're thankful for another day. Thankful for all your blessings that you give us, Lord. That you guide and direct us in all things and all matters, Lord. And just pray for your goodness and say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. Roll call.
Dodie Barnett.
Present.
Joyce Deere.
Present.
Johnny Green.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Rufus Scott.
Here.
Del Beaver.
Here.
Mitch Jack. Daryl Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Thomas Yohola.
Here.
And Chair, you got 9 present and 1 absent.
9 present and 1 absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. First on the agenda is the approval of minutes for January the 17th.
Madam Chair, make the motion to approve that. I think the minutes with any changes needed.
A motion of Representative Scott to approve the minutes with any necessary changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Yohola. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Daryl Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Thomas Yohola?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 8 favors and 0 against.
8 in favor, 0 against. The minutes were January the 17th are approved. Down to the order of business. First is TR 17-019, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the adoption of a storm shelter program policy for the Muscogee Creek Nation Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Sponsors Rufus Scott, co-sponsors Thomas Yohola.
Madam Chair, motion to do pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Yohola. Discussion? Yes.
Madam Chair, I have Ms. Griffith here tonight. If she would please come forward for any questions that we may have. Just a little bit about the program. At the beginning of my seat on the council, I had some Creek citizens, elders, that were asking about storm shelters and stuff. I talked to the speaker about it, but he said that it wasn't a good idea, you know, to just do one, because, you know, that's going to open it up for, you know, everybody else, or, you know, everything at one time. So we talked about a policy to adopt a program that we could meet those needs, and we came up with this policy and stuff. And Ms. Griffith has been working on this for the last year, probably. It's took a long time because all the formalities and liabilities and stuff. So I'm going to give her some time if she wants to go ahead and explain in detail what this is.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me be here tonight. Representative Scott Yohola had requested some information about this program, and Secretary Asbell had asked me to follow through on this and started out doing some initial research and taking a look at the programs offered by the Chickasaws and Choctaws, see how their programs operated. And after going through identifying cost and how the program had the opportunity to operate, we were able to put together a policy with the assistance of the AG's office to reflect the preferences available for a storm shelter project, with the $50,000 that would be appropriated with the companion NCA. We'd be able to install between 10 and 20 storm shelters, depending upon whether they're above ground or below ground. Above ground shelters would be able to be installed for no more than $5,000. Below ground shelters would be able to be installed for no more than $3,000, and actually probably more around in the range of $2,500 for an in-ground. Above-ground shelters would be made available for people with a handicap or ambulatory disability who would not be able to ingress and egress from an in-ground shelter, and that's also requisite upon home ownership and the ability to have the above-ground shelter installed in an existing structure that meets specifications and requirements. What we would do is pay a voucher directly to the contractor after certification and invoice that the installation had occurred. After the appropriations occurred, we'll begin soliciting contractors who'd be willing to enter into an engagement like that. We can do as many as one, or we could do, you know, two or three, depending upon location, for maximum efficiency. I've already spoken with a few storm shelter purveyors who are interested and operate in a similar manner with the Chickasaws and Choctaws, so they're familiar with the policies and regulations as far as that's concerned, so it'd be a pretty easy entry to market.
Any questions? Representative Jennings.
Thank you. The first question I have is about this being under the agricultural and natural resources, you know. How about the risk management, emergency management? They're not included in this.
We could house it there. That was an option that was considered. We looked at the availability of administrative assistance and current program staffing levels. I had the discussion with Secretary Aswell about what we felt would be an appropriate place to put that and left it at his discretion. Through discussion, we determined that housing it here to get it started would be the best way to do it, since I do have the background information available to be able to get it off the ground. If at a later point the program was up and running and successful and we wanted to transfer it over, that's absolutely something we could do in the future.
Okay. And my other question is, in the policy there for elders,
yes,
considered at 55, you know,
The 55.
Where did that come from?
It came from the statutes, the Creek Nation statutes.
Okay, but you know, on the other hand, when you receive your car tag from the Nation, your elder isn't 55 or 65.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the discrepancies that we had noted through discussion, based on the statutory definition that we had seen in the statutes. We went ahead and deferred to the 55. If we want to change that through legislation, we certainly can do that as well.
Yeah. I'm just questioning those issues.
Yeah, that was a question we had as well. So we wanted to defer statutorily, but if we want to change it, we can.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I'm in support of it, just that those are thoughts that I had about
sure.
the program.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Representative Randall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I kind of dovetail off of what Mr. Jennings is saying. I wondered if we could do like maybe the first 2 years or something, 70 and above, try to get our elders, our real elders, versus our young elders.
Sure.
What Mr. Scott was saying, the same thing I ran across when I was campaigning. I had elderly ladies that were in their 70s and 80s saying to me that we no longer know the wind. You know, storms do what they want anymore, and there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I support it, but I think I would like to see our older elders situated first and then the folks.
And what we could even do with the policy is do, we do have a preference, a point preference. If you fit into the certain categories, you gain points. And what we could do is insert age range category, 70 and above is a certain point amount, 65 to 70, a certain point amount. That's something that we can implement through a policy change. So.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Just a comment. I think, you know, this is a good program. It's beneficial. We can see where lives could, you know, be spared and saved. And I talked to Mr. Whitlow, you know, before he came to this, and he said it might be possible that there might be even the funds available in the future. And this is just a start. This is just a start. But also there might be grants out there that would get a grant writer to, you know, look for those. And so you might be able to use those as maybe a future, you know, funding source. Thank you.
To add to that, there's the opportunity for a Red Cross grant. We were not able to apply for it for the previous funding cycle because we didn't have an updated hazard mitigation plan. We do have one of those now, so that's additional funding that we can look for in the future. With the DaHosta funds, I think those would be limited to housing program, and that would be like for new construction or rehabilitation. They'd be able to install a storm shelter. That way, with tribal funds, we'd be able to serve tribal citizens regardless of whether they go through the housing program or not.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, does this program have, what about the Oklahoma Safe Room Rebate Program?
I'm not familiar with the Safe Room Rebate Program. I know that other programs that other tribes and the state have offered with regard to storm shelters have a long wait list, but I haven't explored that one specifically. If there's a way that we can integrate those for our benefit, I'm certainly happy to explore that.
Okay. Well, I know I work with a person here at the tribe that they've had a safe room put in the garage. It cost $4,500 put in the garage, and they got a $2,000 rebate from FEMA. Mm-hmm. So.
Is it through FEMA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy to explore that and see if we can tie any funds in available for that.
And have you thought about safe rooms as far as like maybe communities at community centers?
That's not something that we have explored through this, but I mean, that is something that we could visit later on about and see if that's something. I think the funding source for that would have to be a little bit more because those larger shelters are greater. And we were kind of working with Representative Scott Newholler, thinking about targeting rural areas where, you know, maybe a community shelter wouldn't be as easily accessible due to distance. But that's something that we could consider as the program expands.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I just have one more thing to say since our Representative Beagle's office has said about the community shelters. I did have one citizens from Gager, you know, that asked about that, and I told him, you know, like I said, this is just a startup program. I said, you know, that may be something that could be possible later on and stuff, but that's a good idea. Cause, like I said, Gager community is small, and, you know, there's nowhere there for them to go and stuff. So. And one more thing I'd like to add is... since this came about, myself and Representative Yahola had up ideas of what we wanted and stuff. Ms. Griffith, you know, we told her, we met with her and stuff, and you know, she picked it up and she ran with it. She's done a really excellent job on this, and I'd like to say thank you for that.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Representative Proctor?
No questions.
Representative Barnett?
No.
Yes.
Yes, Chair. I just want to make a quick comment about community shelters from an emergency management standpoint. That's not something that FEMA or anybody actually promotes any longer. Because what was happening is we would have a community shelter, and the shelter would not be open, so people would actually go to the shelter, and instead of sheltering in place, they would arrive at a shelter, and potentially, if the building or stuff was not open, then they're actually kind of stuck between, in the middle of a storm, you know, trying to seek shelter at a community shelter versus just sheltering place at their home. So just from a FEMA standpoint, they actually don't promote community shelters any longer. Just FYI.
Okay. Thank you. Chief?
Just one question. I know you have them. I should have asked this earlier, but we have 55 or older, and you have other preferences, but one of them is Muskogee Nation veteran citizens. Does that mean those veterans that are under age 55 or those veterans over 55?
It'll be a point preference system. So if there's a veteran who lives, if there's a Muskogee Creek citizen veteran who's an elder who lives in a rural area, they will get more points than a Muskogee citizen who is not a veteran or who is not rural. So each category will be assigned a point value, and it's an accumulation of the points for the preference.
So a veteran under age 55 would still get preference according to this?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Thank you for all the information.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Del Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Thomas Yahola?
Yes.
And Jerry got 8 in favor and 0 against.
8 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-17-024, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute an operating agreement on behalf of the Okmulgee Indian Community. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Beaver. Any discussion?
Mr. Dillinger. You want to speak on this?
Well, I can. Yes, I'd be happy.
Well, Ms. Topaz, she's at Coweta and all that.
Yeah,
she said Linda was from.
I can speak on it.
Okay.
I think this is, for the most part, the same agreement that's been entered into at the other two communities, I think, Muscogee and Duck Creek. And there are a few little nuances or changes, like the graduation and pay over over time. I think that's a little bit different. And then I think there's a clause in there that's been added that if for some reason the cigarette tax ends up going up and it's not as profitable for Mr. Bosworth, there's the ability for the parties to get together and renegotiate the payment term. So I think those are the only two main differences between this and the previous two agreements that have been entered into. And it has been vetted and reviewed by our office. And as Mr. Representative Jennings said, Mrs. Topa had reviewed it on behalf of our office.
Any questions?
Mr. Baldwin, do you have anything to say?
I just appreciate y'all coming to your time and giving me the opportunity to do this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Daryl Proctor.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
And Jerry got 8 in favor and 0 against.
8 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 17-019, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources in order to help establish and fund a tribal storm shelter program. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, I motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for a due pass. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Second by Representative Yohola. Is there any more discussion?
This $50,000 is just a startup. And as Ms. Griffith said, we can probably build a lot of like $2,500. So we're hoping to build maybe 20 or maybe a couple more for the first year. Thank you.
Any questions? Yes.
And I think this is a great program. But will there be a cat per individual shelters and what I'm getting at is you know, we've got up to age of 70. I'm not quite there yet, but we'll be quick pretty soon. But some of these people that are over 70 have disabilities that are, you know, that could run into a different type of situation where they're not able to go down the stairs or, you know, and I know that they have the ones that go
safely
up on top. But again, some of them may not have the accommodations for those either. So, you know, to me that's a concern, you know, for the elderly ones that do have. And, you know, if you're going to put a cap on this, a money cap on this thing, how would you go about providing those elderly?
I never, you know, considered, you know, that option. Those that we, you know, mentioned, those that probably had canes or walkers, you know, so they could have excess without having to go down to the, you know, ground cellar, for the top. So, but that's something that could be, you know, amended, you know, if that's what we needed to do. And also, the age could be amended also. So we could do that on the floor, you know, whatever the consensus of the, you know, committee would be, or the council, I would say.
I think it's a great program, but, you know, my concern is with those people that wouldn't have the ability to go down the stairs or climb back up the stairs or, you know, that sort of thing, nor have accommodations in their house for the ones that are built up on the top.
Madam Chair, yes. I'd just like to address some of the concerns that the second chief has. Most of these are, you know, the normal cost is about $2,500, and the cap for the below the ground is $3,500, which, you know, we're not going to worry about that for, you know, the disabled. But the above grounds, you know, they're also about the same price, too, and there's a $4,500 cap. So that's a $2,000, you know, cap above what the normal rate is. You know, if they have to make the doors wider or something for a wheelchair. But, you know, I think the above would be, make sense for the severely disabled, like, you know, that are wheelchair bound or walkers. And, you know, surely there's somebody, hopefully there's somebody there to, you know, get them there if that comes up. So, thanks.
It's Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a couple of questions. One is for Ms. Rowe. What would be the funding source?
I believe it would be interest on the permanent fund. I had questioned Ms. Hotbelt about the per price, and if it had been $5,000 or more, we could have used capital improvement. But since it's less than $5,000, I think a more appropriate source would be interest on the permanent fund.
And that being said, I'm just not sure that $50,000 is enough. You know, if you every one of them's at $4,500, you're only going to do 10 or so. You know, so
happy to have been.
I mean, 10 throughout the nation is not very many. So I'd like to make amendment to increase it to 100. Anyway.
Thank you. What was your question?
He made an amendment to increase the amount from $50,000 to $100,000.
Okay.
We don't have a second yet.
Okay. Motion by Representative Jennings to amend the amount to $100,000. Second by Representative Yaholo. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Del Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Thomas Yaholo?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 8 in favor and 0 against.
8 in favor, 0 against. Amendment passes. Did she say it would come out of?
Just on permanent fund.
But if it went over,
yes, it's
still in.
But yeah, so it's gonna be up until they haven't met yet.
No, okay, that's true. Are there any more questions? Not. Back to the main motion. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Steer.
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Del Proctor?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Thomas Yaholo?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 8 in favor and 2 against.
8 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Is there any other business? Any announcements?
March 4th, Salt Creek Methodist will be having our annual
fundraiser onion dinner at the Holden Button Inn Community Center, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I have tickets if anyone wants to pre-purchase your ticket for our fundraiser. Thank you.
That was March 4th.
March 4th, yes, ma'am.
Are there any more announcements? Proctor?
We will have our Land and Natural Resources Culture Committee meeting at 6:40.
6:40? Any more announcements? If not, a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Representative Jennings for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Beaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. I'd like to ask Representative Beaver to give us a benediction, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the beautiful day given us, Lord. I, Lord, want to thank you for this life that's come together and this entire business, Lord. I, Lord, ask that you just do it.